the Dad Challenge Podcast. My name's Josh.
I'm Jeff.
And this is the podcast we talk about things like...
Why the heck was everybody in your family sick last week and now everybody in my family
they got
is
it? Sick?
Trish is like at home right now.
Barfing?
Done. She's not puking though, so maybe it's not the same thing.
Does she feel like she has to puke though?
She's got a really like intense pain in her chest. Yeah, okay. That is like turning like a burning in her like
yeah, it's not
throat.
What we had.
So
ours is like
thing.
You barf once and then you're tired for the rest of the day. That's what
cool.
It was.
So maybe you'll get what she's got this week and we'll take what you had last week.
Well, I told Tyson not to go over to your house and he still did like an idiot. What an idiot.
Sorry. I feel like my immune system's up there. Now I said that I'm probably gonna get sick, but
you're done now, buddy.
Yeah.
All right, so we don't have a guest today, which is fine. And sorry we took last week off. We've just been busy.
Well, you were sick.
I was sick.
We actually sat down to do it.
Everybody was sick.
We sat down
and I had to go pick up Weston.
And
that's right.
Weston started puking and pooping.
Yeah, pooped on his socks.
Oh.
Yeah.
And that's gross.
Barfed everywhere. Poor kid.
Would you rather poop on your socks? So you take your sock off and then your hands are touching. You can wash it easier. Or would you rather just poop on your bare foot?
Barefoot. It's easier.
I guess.
Socks are gross. Yeah, okay, so Weston got sick. Then Everly got sick and I got sick the same day. I definitely may or may not have pooped my pants when I was sleeping. I thought it was a fart.
You cannot trust a fart in that scenario.
No, you're right. And you're not supposed to. And so what happened was this sickness was you barf once or twice.
Yep.
Everly barfed three times.
Yep.
I barfed once. Then it was diarrhea and tired all day. Like you're like to touch your skin, you were hurting. You know that feeling? And
so this was gastrointestinal. Like,
this was something. Yeah. It was 24 hours gone.
That's not the flu. That's like some intestinal bug.
Yeah, it was bad.
Bug.
And then I definitely may or may not have pooped in my underwear. It was bad.
Like
then, next day,
like
Tristan and Kathy
like
got sick.
Like a throw-out bad? Or like a...
Yeah.
Oh,
bad.
Yeah?
Like,
not
like
even...
sacrificed to the darkness. Bad. Like, it was bad. And Everly just watched cartoons all day. Next day, Kathy and Tristan got sick. And she was done for the day. She still isn't 100%. Hers, when Kathy gets sick, she gets sick, man. Like, bad.
Sure.
Tyson thinks he's invincible walking around. I'm like, Tyson, don't go hang with your girlfriend. Don't go to your friend's house. I called him from school. I'm like, are you feeling okay? Yeah, I'm great. I don't get sick.
All right.
I said, don't hang out with people. Comes home next day, right off. Boom. Gets hammered. So I went through a host. This is why we couldn't do the podcast. I didn't want Jeff to come over and get the sickness. So that's kind of what happened. But,
yeah.
I mean, it brings us to this then. Would you rather... Because I couldn't eat all day and I hate being sick, although I lose probably 6 or 7 pounds. It's great. Would you rather be able to eat anything you want and have it to be perfect nutrition or only have to sleep 1 hour a day and be fully rested?
Eat anything I want, hands down. I don't even have to think about that one.
Really?
Absolutely.
But sleep 1 hour a day and be fully rested? How much more can you get done?
I would probably just want to chill out. I mean, that's a lot of time to be awake. There's sometimes when I'm like, I wish I could fall asleep right now.
That's true.
Like I did my 5-day fast again. I just did it again. And on the last 3 days, apparently fasting can affect sleep. Like I was not sleeping.
Really?
Yeah. I wouldn't say that I wasn't sleeping well. It's I wasn't sleeping. Like I just couldn't fall asleep. I'd just be like awake.
Yeah.
And I didn't like it. I wanted to sleep. So hands down, anything I want to eat and it's perfect nutrition, I'm in.
Yeah. I can
agree
with you.
That's amazing. Food's delicious.
I'd be pounding Doritos all day long. People are judging me. I'm like, don't worry about it.
This is nutritious.
This is my body's needs this. I'd definitely do that. All right, here's another one. This is a weird one. Would you rather have an obsessive, insane person love you or hate you?
Oh.
All those guys out there that have crazy girlfriends.
Yeah, that one is tough. I mean, you know what? Probably obsessive, insane person. So I'm going to go with hate because at least you can get a restraining order.
Yeah, but
if someone's
I've heard
you,
some murderous
tough.
Horror stories about that stuff.
I get it for sure. Like there is some crazy, but I'm saying, I don't know if I'd want the love one is like.
The love one, I have stories about that because I played in a band.
But it becomes exhausting.
I know, and that's you're right. So I haven't had an insane obsessive person hate me to a degree where it's like that's got to be really stressful though because they're doing everything in their power to kill you or to not kill you but to destroy your life.
Yeah,
I don't know what that's like. I hope I don't. I don't know anybody who obsessively hates me. Maybe they do. Maybe we don't know that, which is great. But the obsessive love one, I'm not saying it like it was super obsessive, but being in a band,
yeah,
even though we weren't that big, you still get super fans who like will do anything
right
to like. Be a part of you, to be around you at all times. We had some super fans. I had a girl, I was touring out. I was 30 when I was touring. So I was older. Everybody else in the band was young guys. I was the oldest in the band. I remember playing out East Coast. This girl comes up to me after the show. She's like, hey, you want to go skinny dipping? I'm like, I'm old enough to be your dad. How old are you? She's like 16. And I'm like, and she was obsessed. She's like, let's go. We all go skinny dip. Let's go. And I'm like, this, I felt like, I was like, I had to leave this immediate area right away. Now.
Yeah.
And I never, and the band's rules, because we were a Christian band, was never to ever go off alone. Anybody ever, always be out in the open. And we always were. So I didn't have anything to worry about that.
That's just a wise statement for anybody.
But some of the, like Jamie, our young guy, the young hot guy in our band with the hair and the flip hair and the amazing guitar player. The girls loved Jamie, okay? They just obsessed over Jamie. I told you about the buttons, right? Did I tell you about the buttons?
What was the buttons?
Okay, so Hearts and Stereo was the band.
Yeah.
We had a lot of merch
that
we sold. We made tons of money selling t-shirts. At one point on the tour, we made buttons, okay? Because it's like, we just wanted to try. No joke. We knew right off top, Jamie would sell the most buttons because Jamie's the hot hunk.
Right.
He's the guy, all the girls, he had so many girls obsessed over him. It was crazy. And he was not the type of guy that like took advantage of it.
No.
Such a classy kid. He wasn't even a Christian, Jamie, at that time.
Really?
He just was like, he wanted to play in a band and he was a gentleman. And he just like... his whole life girls liked him, but he it was such a great example of like a kid that just like wanted to play rock music. Anyway, so we got all these buttons. We ordered, I think each person got 200 buttons, and I ordered Jamie
like,
1,000.
So with your likeness and name, like that kind of thing?
Our picture and our name on it. With
so like the Wiggles.
Basically, we were the Wiggles. Because people were buying our merch, didn't matter. We could have sold them Jamie's poop in a Ziploc bag and they would have bought it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, we just did buttons. We did everything. We had stickers, and we sold out of everything all the time.
Wow.
So we were making bank. Like, it was awesome. And so we're like, let's do buttons. And so we made 1,000 Jamie buttons, 200. And then I think Ryan had a little bit more because Ryan was the other hunk. Johnny and I were the older guys in the band, and we looked older. But Johnny and I always got hit on by the moms. It was awesome, actually. It was funny. And then, Pat had a little bit more. So I had the least. By the way, I had the least amount of buttons, even though I was a front man for this band. And I didn't care. It didn't bother me at all.
Yeah, I get it.
Jamie's buttons sold out in 2 shows. I still have buttons over there in the hallway of my buttons.
And how many less buttons did you have?
I sold maybe 1 or 2 a show. Jamie sold out in 2 shows. So we sold 500 buttons a show. And
that's
we had to order
funny.
Baggies and baggies and baggies of these buttons. Bags of them. And Jamie, like, people would buy 10 Jamie buttons, put them all in one girl, her whole pants, Jamie
just
buttons.
Just all Jamie buttons.
And I'm like, Jamie, how does that make you feel, buddy? We should bring him on, and I want to talk to him about his experience
That's
in that
funny.
Band, because he dealt with it really well.
Yeah.
But he got, like, girls would, like, I couldn't even imagine having that kind of power over women, especially because he was young. He was 18.
Right.
Right? In a band where all these girls, 16, 17, 18, coming to your shows, would literally throw themselves
they
at him.
They loved him.
Like, man, and I like he dealt with it so well, but like he had this day, I'm sure he's gotten messages and correspondence that he's not told us about that were just obsessive.
Really?
And it was just like, so I think he might have said, I'd rather someone hate me. But it was a good opportunity. He sold so many buttons. We made shirts, okay?
Yeah.
With our faces on them.
Yeah.
Jamie was in the middle. You got, and then all the Johnny and all the other guys around, those shirts sold out in one show. We bought one order because we thought it'd be funny.
Yeah.
Sold out in one show.
Wow.
Pat, I don't know why I'm telling you about the band days, but it's my glory days. But Pat, the drummer, who was crazy, just a big, tall kid, long hair, super outgoing, really good drummer. We made a. He said this. He always had these phrases. He didn't understand half. Like he just. I don't know. It's like the guy from Trailer Park Boys. Like, worst case Ontario. He doesn't know Ricky. He doesn't.
Oh.
You kids. He called them Patisms.
Yeah.
He says true friends never die. We're like, what's that supposed to mean, man? And
true
we all made fun of him for
never
that.
Die.
No joke. And we were like, so I made a shirt said "True Fred Never Die" with a picture of Pat on it. Sold out. Gone.
That's hilarious.
Those boys
man.
To
That's
this
awesome.
Day both have a tattoo on their arms. Says "True Friends Never Die," and it just became one of those things. Anyway, that was.
I think I'm with you.
I'd rather someone love me, obviously, because then you can, you at least you don't get killed.
Right. But I don't know if I'd be able to deal with it. I think the hate, so I can get the. I don't know.
It's the love is
restraining.
The love is just awkward. Because you get all these people there, you don't even know me. You want my autograph. You want to like hang out with me. You want to do things to me.
Yeah.
You want to like you're like hitting on me, and it's like you put yourself in a position so long. If you did that for so long, it eventually is going to wear you right down.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. But it's just awkward, and you just get used to be like, hey, thanks. You know, you just get used to just tapping me. Oh, thank, appreciate it. Side hugs because they're coming in for the full frontal hug, and you're
right.
Like, boom, side hug, and so you have to do all these things anyway. Most bands aren't Christian, and so they just do, they love the attention. Those guys are getting laid every night. They're doing, they do
the
it
orgies.
For that, right?
Yeah.
So, that was kind of
crazy time, man.
I like Jamie buttons are, if you have a Jamie button out there, you're listening to this podcast, you literally have a collector's item. They don't exist. They're gone.
Well, they're gone for sale, but it sounds like there's a million of them out there.
Yeah. They're collector's items. I'd save them.
That sounds like the Josh buttons are the collector's items.
Yeah, well, I have
There's
all of them.
Few of those.
I have 198 here.
The the mint only made two.
That's true.
I got a dad joke. So we're usually talking about what we're watching and what we're listening to. But I've been reading a book about anti-gravity. It's impossible to put down. You laughed a little bit.
Well, I exhaled two puffs of air from my nose. Just because I just watched The Martian again. It's one of those shows that if it's on TV, I'll watch it.
It's good. It's a good movie.
Yeah. And I was actually, it's what we're watching. Let's go right into it.
Sure.
I was just in Chicago, Chi-Town. Beautiful city, by the way. Just beautiful. Reminds me of Toronto a lot.
Yep.
Very clean. But it smells, in certain areas, it smells like sewage. It's really weird. You get a waft of wind and it's sewage. Just weird. Anyway.
That's gross.
The food was really good, but where
was I going
with
that? Did you grab one of their famous Chicago casseroles?
I texted Jeff. I'm like, Jeff, I'm about to get a deep dish. He's like, yeah, they're just basically casseroles. I'm like, don't ruin this magic for me. But I did
it.
Yeah,
you didn't
you know
get
why?
One because it takes 3 hours to make
45
one.
45 minutes, she said it took. I'm like, to make a pizza?
Okay, look up any pizza recipe, see how long it takes to cook. Usually 10 minutes or less.
Yeah.
Then look up casserole recipes, 45 minutes.
So right. I did not get a deep dish. I went across and got this place, I got these giant meatballs, and they were from this Italian restaurant.
I saw the
pretty
picture.
Sure it was mob run. Like it looked like it.
Hopefully.
Yeah, because it's the best food. But these meatballs were ridiculous, like amazing.
They were enormous.
Where was I going with that?
You was about what we're watching, so you
right.
must have
so
saw.
I'm in the hotel, like I don't watch cable. Right, I don't have that anymore. I've been unplugged for 10 plus years.
Yep.
And if you want to get unplugged, maybe we'll do a podcast about that because you shouldn't be paying cable companies money at all. It is a ripoff. Stop.
Say what you're watching.
Save it for airing grievances, though. I'll do it for airing grievances.
I can't. We do not have enough time to talk about how much I hate the major cable companies.
Okay. We will do a whole episode on it. So anyway, I'm just scrolling through, and there's two shows that I will always stop to watch. Three. Forrest Gump.
Okay.
Always.
If it's on, even with commercials?
Yes.
You'll watch that?
I will watch it with the commercials. Right. Castaway. I'll always watch Castaway.
I just watched that recently, like last week.
Can't get enough of Castaway. It's
really,
so well done.
I don't know if I could watch it over and over again.
Oh, it's so
I did
good.
Like it.
But The Martian came on.
That's a great movie.
And I was like, I got hooked, and I'm like, oh, I gotta watch. It was such a well done movie. But I don't know where I was going with that either. What were we talking
what
about?
Were we
space?
Watching? Oh, what because were... I said the anti-gravity.
The anti-gravity joke. I gotta say, what I watched, I watched that this week, and I thought, such a great. I don't know what about the flow of that movie. It was just so good because I read the book too.
Very good movie.
Just the flow. He's like, I'm going to science the out of this. And it was like, yeah, you're just like, yeah. I'm like, well, it's so well done. The information they provided you, it was like, it actually could happen. It feels like all that technology exists now that that could happen. It was just so well acted. It was like the science of it was really cool. I like Matt Damon.
I like Matt Damon too. The weird thing about that movie is I reluctantly went to watch it. I didn't think it was going to be good. I thought it was going to be boring.
Yeah.
And it was not. Oh, yeah. I loved it when I saw it.
Just excellent. I'd also like to interview Matt Damon someday. I love Matt Damon. I love Chris Pratt. Don't get me wrong. Chris Pratt's still my spirit animal. If I had two people to hang out with in the world, like celebrity wise, it would be Matt Damon and because I just feel like he's a nice... I
heard
like
he's a humble dude.
I hear he's humble. That. I feel like he'd be a really cool guy to hang out with. Ever
so
since
too.
Good Will Hunting.
Oh, yeah. I think he would be fun. Chris Pratt, come on.
Chris Pratt, we love you. What are you watching?
I just watched The Shack. You've heard of The Shack, right?
Is that the horror movie?
No, it's the one about the guy whose daughter is abducted and it's the
never
guy...
Seen. Is yeah, it, what's his name?
It's a Christian movie.
Oh, yeah, that's why I haven't seen it.
No, but it was mainstream. It was in all the theaters.
Okay.
And I forget the actor's name, but he basically goes and he has...
Kirk Cameron?
No.
Okay.
It's not... It's a good movie. People
right,
like
I'm
it.
Sorry.
Like, so, anyways, I watched it. Trish had already seen it. She went to the theaters with the girls to see it. She said, do you want to watch it? She said, it's good. And I'm like, all right, I watch it. I loved and hated the movie. It was definitely a good movie.
Yeah.
But it... Dude, tears streaming down.
You were
down
crying in the shack.
Like actually can't breathe. Like it was
you serious?
It made me mad. Yeah, which makes me mad.
Wow.
I get angry. So.
The only movie that's ever done that to me, a couple movies, Marley and Me.
Yeah.
Don't watch Marley and Me.
I know.
Don't do it, dude.
I know.
You talking about sob cry.
Yeah, I was like yeah.
You're sobbing.
Because I was trying to hold it in, it ends up hurting your throat, you know that? So then and then I'm like, I'm holding it in, my throat's hurting, tears are like down to my, they're dripping off my chin onto my shirt. I was mad.
And sure,
it's
was
upsetting,
it by yourself?
Man. No, she was there.
So it's a true story?
If I was by myself, I probably would have just let her go.
Is it a true story?
It is based on a true story. So this guy basically...
Don't tell me.
Okay, watch it. Yeah.
I'm going to watch it.
It's
good. And I'll tell you if I cried.
But I'll tell you this. This won't ruin it. He basically has a conversation with God, but he has conversation with God, the Trinity. So all three are present. And it's very good in that way. Yeah, it's the whole story is just...
Jeez, okay.
Yeah, and the other thing I watched, because I got two actually, because that one did that to me, and the other one was Glass.
Yes.
I saw Glass. Have you seen it?
In theaters.
You saw it in theaters?
Tell me the new one?
Glass. Yeah,
the one with M. Night Shyamalan. Is it the newest one?
Yes.
I've not seen the newest one. I haven't even seen the other ones.
It's the end of the trilogy of Unbreakable, then they had Split, and then this is bringing Unbreakable and Split together. So he made Unbreakable, right? He made Split.
Which Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis.
Like becomes he's a superhero.
So it's basically like a more realistic superhero movie, right? Like
I'll watch it.
It could. You haven't seen Unbreakable either? Have you seen Split?
Part of Split. I didn't get to finish. I didn't finish it, but I should.
What is wrong with you?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
And Rocky.
And when are we watching Rocky?
I know.
No. So Unbreakable. Unbreakable is an older movie. I think it was done well. It was, again, basically a guy who discovers that he has powers and what he's going to do with them. But it's definitely more realistic. It's kind of dark, a little bit somber. And then you have Split, which is about a guy with multiple personalities, comes from abuse and how he deals with that. So he's kind of villainized, I guess, right? And then there's the third character who is the mastermind from... the first movie, Unbreakable, who is played by Samuel Jackson, and he's Glass, Mr. Glass.
Yeah.
So his thing is that he's extremely fragile, but his mind is unbelievable.
Okay.
So he can't, like, if he goes to take a step, his ankle breaks.
Okay.
Yeah, he's like that fragile. Wow. He's had like 94 breaks in his life or something like that.
So he's in a wheelchair?
Yeah. So the cool thing that Shyamalan did is, how do you say his name?
M. Night Shyamalan. M. Night Shyamalan. I don't know.
That's what I said, right?
Shyamalan, something like that.
Okay. So, he's a good director. I like some of his movies. Some of his movies miss me, but others are quite good. So, what he did was he made Unbreakable and then didn't tell anybody that Split was a sequel. So, those two movies
don't exist in the same universe.
Yep, but no one really knew that until this third movie. The third movie pulls them together, which is kind of cool. So, this movie's been getting a lot of hate, though. People don't like it. They don't like the way it ended. I liked it.
Okay.
I liked the movie. I didn't care that it ended the way that it ended. It wasn't like a Marvel ending, but I was okay with that because I don't feel like those movies are that.
Yeah.
And yeah, it is what it is. And I enjoyed the three of them together for sure.
Say what you want about him, but he's trailblazed some crazy things.
Oh, he's made some great movies.
Where's the movie when with
Bruce Willis again?
Yeah. What was that one?
I See Dead People.
Yeah. What the heck?
Sixth Sense.
Okay, when I saw Sixth Sense, I need to watch it again. That blew everybody's mind. You know Donnie Wahlberg's in that movie from New Kids on the Block? He's the kid in the underwear in the bathroom. He's like shivering.
That.
Anyway, it gave me a new respect for Donnie Wahlberg. That's really cool. I mean, Endgame's coming out soon, so we're going to have to go see that opening night, and we're going to do a podcast right about afterwards.
Why don't we do it in the movie?
We should be like, people hate us. Yeah, so I haven't really seen anything new, except I did finish Hannah on Prime. Very well done first season.
Yeah, you were saying.
Very well done first season. Very good. Got slow. Got slow during 5-6, or sorry, 4-5, and then picked up 6-7. Has 8 episodes. Really, really, really good. I ended up falling in love with Hannah. Not like sexually, but like as a daughter. Like.
Oh, okay. So really I know nothing about this show. I got to check it out.
I'm not going to tell you, but she just something about they chose her. I think for a couple reasons. Her calming spirit on film. Just very like, she could snap your neck instantly.
Okay.
But she just was like, I don't know. I liked her character was really good. This girl is going to be doing big things for her future. Very,
I gotta
very good.
I got to see this. You're not the only person I've heard say good things about Hannah, so I got to check it out. What about what we're listening to?
What are you listening to?
I actually should have texted you. I got a new podcast, Dropout. Have you seen it on there?
Mm-mm.
So it's a story. It's investigative reporting done on this Elizabeth Holmes story.
Okay.
She's the lady that started this company Thanos, and she was like the first youngest entrepreneurial female to ever make $1 billion. But it's like all fraud.
All fraud.
All of it. It's crazy. So the story's awesome. Like, and they go through it pretty quick. I'm almost done. It's probably why I didn't text you. You were away.
Yeah.
And I've already listened to the whole thing. I have one episode left.
Okay.
To hear the rest of it. The story's unbelievable. Like, it's very intriguing. And the lengths that she would go to, like, squish people that, like, were, like, going.
Is she in jail now?
Well,
don't tell me.
I haven't heard heard how it ends, but as of 2017, she was still in trials.
Okay.
But this was going on for like 10 years. Like,
billionaire. By fraud.
All by just BSing people.
That's crazy. I'm listening to Crime Town. I love Gimlet's podcasts, by the way. Crime if you get Town. A chance, listen to Startup. It's one of what's got me into Gimlet.
Yeah.
But Crime Town's good. We're listening to the buddy Cianci from Rhode Island, the mayor, and all the mobster stuff. Yeah. I love that stuff. I'm not saying I love people killing stuff, but mob, like organized crime is really, really interesting to research and understand.
Oh, yeah.
But it's brutal. Brutal.
Yes.
Like, yeah, brutal. For sure. So I'm halfway through there and just listening to his story, and it's like, man, these guys just got away with so much stuff. Wow. So you get a chance, listen to Crime Town. It's good.
I've listened to parts of that for sure. I can't remember where I'm at, so that's why I didn't, and I found this and I started listening. I'm glad I did. Is Tyson listening to this Lil Nas X Old Town Road song?
Probably. Oh yeah, the country one.
Yeah.
He said we need to parody it.
Dude, I think we should. And I actually like it.
Apparently,
and
did you hear Billy Ray? Yeah, no, that's what Tyson just said.
But did you hear him?
No.
I like it.
So let's parody it.
I actually really like it with Billy Ray.
If we got time after this, let's start it.
Okay. We're going right for it.
Yeah, let's do it. And then there was one other thing that I found in the news. It was pretty funny. Detroit cop shows up intoxicated at breathalyzer training session.
Hey, maybe he's a method actor.
Like, he probably drove there in the cop car, got out, and they're like, hey, blowing this just for fun. You're drunk, bro. It's Detroit, though. It's probably par for the course.
Yeah, but I'm a cop.
So I can do whatever I want.
That's actually, I don't know. It's funny, but it's not funny. It's funny because it shouldn't be, but that's a shame.
I bet you nothing will happen to that guy.
I actually got to partake in something like this.
Like you did a breathalyzer?
No, I was drunk driving.
You were drink driving? No. And they're like, hey.
I'm just kidding. No. What am I trying to say here?
Yeah, didn't you get to go into do some testing or something?
Yeah, so the police were doing some testing. I knew somebody who invited me to this day. They basically needed volunteers who could, it's kind of pathetic, who could drink during the day.
So they call the firefighters.
So they needed people to come in. They're delivering a course, not only to their own department, but to multiple departments around the area to get these guys who are going into traffic, specifically into the I guess it's intoxication specialists, or I don't know what they call them. I don't know the full terminology. But anyways, bringing them in. And yeah, they had two groups of people. One was a bunch of their dispatchers. So by the time I arrived, there was like a bunch of dispatchers that work for them that were all lit in the corner. So they were doing like all the field testing, blow into the handheld device that they have in their cars and walk, you know, the walk the line thing, all the sobriety tests. And then they had another group that was what we were doing, and it was just like a 2-hour drinking session, and then it was this like the actual breathalyzer that if you get taken to the cop shop, you have to do it there, and they take two tests from you and see where you're at.
So you drink, wait an hour,
Very they're very professional about it. They pick you up at your house, obviously, because they can't send you home after drinking, and then you go there, they monitor exactly how much you've intaken. And then, you go and you go to all these different stations and you just keep giving breathalyzer tests to all the guys that are training. So, but it was interesting. It's kind of neat.
Does it get belligerent? People start fighting?
No, nothing like that. Like I said, they're watching, right?
Right.
So I had a couple more drinks than some other people based probably solely on my size.
Yeah.
Like I could drink a little bit more because I wasn't being an idiot, and they probably wanted to get me to a level that they could have a reading, right? So, it was kind of interesting, though. So I was part of this, but I didn't see any drunk cops. But who knows?
And Canada's pretty good about that stuff. I hopefully.
Yeah.
There's another hot topic popping in Ontario right now, and this is something we need to talk about probably, I'm hoping next week. I'm hoping to get a teacher on. But Ford, now, let me preface this with, like, look, Ford said he's going to do something, and he's very much like Trump. This is the only thing where I'm like, okay, now I'm getting a little bit pissed about what he's doing. Because before, so it's like, if he wants to stop the gravy train, I'm about that, because he wants to save money. But there are, I think, not at the expense of kids. And not just because I have kids.
Of education.
Yeah. Right. And not just because I have kids in there, but like, you know, I've been talking to some friends. I have lots of teacher friends, and I know that they have a lot of them, some of them can complain, some of them don't. I know a guy, I have a teacher friend that's like, look, I know how good I have it. Yep. And it's rare that you hear a teacher say this. He's right. Like, look, I know how good I have this. I get summers off. I get March breaks off. I get Christmas off. I get Easter. I get all the great holidays, 2 months off in the summer, and I get a pretty good salary. Like, I know how good I have it. But, and I loved him saying that, but he's like, but you know what? This thing, he's shutting down the autism thing. And he's like, I mean, like, Ford has done a couple of things he shouldn't have just touched. Like, he's just like, if you're going to alienate liberals for like stopping a gravy train on certain things, like paying a hydro guy $6 million, I'm about that. Go for
it. Yes, that makes sense.
If you're going to save money by bringing down the, you know, a council by half because they're just a gravy train. Cool.
Right.
If you're going to start affecting families, you are not going to be popular with anybody. So you got to stop doing that.
To me, it just seems logical. Do you think that, I mean, obviously if there's fat, you got to cut it, but cutting funding from education, does that seem wise for a society that you want to advance and become better in the future?
Yeah, you should never cut funding to education.
We got to look into this too. If we're going to do an education one, I want to know, there are some countries that put way more into education than what we do, where they pay their teachers
like rock stars.
Yeah. And they get good, smart people that want to be teachers because of that, right?
Yeah, well, they have like a bigger process, a harder process to be a teacher. Well,
but that's okay.
You're right, and we should get someone. I know the U.S., there's a teacher, there's a school out there that's similar to Elon Musk's school, where they teach you as you need to be taught. So you set your own curriculum, right. You do your own work, which is a different thing.
Yes, but that's people funding their own kids' education. That's just, that's for private. The elite, right?
Yeah.
And, okay, they have that, but really, like, you got Ford who's got dough, and I don't know, he doesn't have any kids in the system now, right? Like, his kids are all old.
I don't know, like, what's going through his head, because
it's just a shame.
It's already too many kids in a class.
Yeah.
Right? There's one thing he wants to do. He wants to get rid of cell phones in classes. And I'm bring it.
And I hear the math thing, and I don't know enough about this, but I hear that he wants to take math back to actually being about math.
He wants to give teachers tests to see what they can do in math.
That's a good thing. I feel like I'm okay at math. Like, I got math to get me through like life, which is fine. But I go to help my kids with math, and I'm not talking about Ty's grade 11 math where he's doing like, you know, calculus and algebra and stuff like that. I'm not okay there because I don't practice it, but I should be able to help Adelaide with math. But the way they teach them, I honestly have no idea what they're doing. I can do the equation, but I can't do it the way that she thinks it has to be done.
Oh, from the movie there. In Incredibles 2. Why did they change math?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, you haven't seen it? Oh,
no, that's really good. I got to check that out.
Why would they change math?
How do you change math?
The thing with Ford is that, look, like, he got voted in as a conservative thing. Like, I'm stopping the gravy train, and I get that.
Yeah.
And I do get it. And he has done the things, and people are upset and fine. But this one is not going to do well for him. He is going to have to step back on this. Because they're talking about 40. And he's, you know their excuses? You know, putting kids in a class of 45 kids makes them more versatile. First of all,
it does not.
It just makes teachers more frustrated and not want to teach as good as they teach now. They're going to be like, I can't teach. I can't give you one-on-one. If someone has a question, I can't get through all your questions. Can't teach a class and get through questions.
Right.
How are you really supposed to teach people? Because most kids don't learn. Not every kid learns the same way, like Tyson and me, for example.
Right.
I need a one-on-one person that comes and shows me, because I can't just watch a lecture and be like, got it, where some Ty probably could.
Yeah,
I can't do that. And so how are those kids who are already suffering going to be able to learn?
They're not. How do you ask a question? Right? Yeah, a kid that gets it may be able to sit there and take the lecture and do it, right? So I got a real life example of this, and I feel okay saying this because I really do love the guy to death.
Yeah.
He's a guy I work with. Adam, if you're listening, I'm sorry. You know I love you, but we call Adam dumb all the time, jokingly, right?
Yeah.
Like, and he knows it. He'll call himself, like, it's almost a term of endearment with him. But we joke with him because when he was in school, I don't know, the government must have done something screwed up at that time. He was in a 1-2-3 split class. How does a teacher teach that?
Everly's in a split class right now, 1-2.
I know. And split classes have always existed, and there's, you know, they have reasons for doing it, but a 1-2-3, grade 1 and grade 3, those are vastly different.
Huge,
that's a huge step. That's coming out of kindergarten and going into grade 4. That's a big gap.
That's a fail.
And he was in a 1-2-3 split. He's like, we talked to him about it. He's like, I don't know what I did ever. Like, and he can't spell. He messes up sayings all the time. And we just laugh at him, right?
He's Ricky from Drill Rock Boys.
He almost falls into the stereotype. And he laughs. And
he embraces Adam, it though.
He is a smart guy. Like, he's he's a life smart dude who
he's smart.
Good. He's a great firefighter who is smart when it comes to that. It's just when he starts talking, and especially when we're on him, he'll get all fumbled.
I don't know, Adam, but I feel like Adam and I are probably close together because I'm very similar, right? I have super ADD, so yeah. I couldn't learn anything in school anyway. I'm surprised I got a 60 average out of high school. I'm like, it's a miracle.
You imagine being in a 1-2-3 split?
I feel he's saying, like, he's probably smart, like,
yes.
He's probably street smart. He probably has different kind of like common sense smarts. There's a difference between book smart and common sense smarts.
For sure.
Kathy, my wife, is book smart to the nth degree. Yes. She can read a book, understand, yes, study, and be really good.
Yep.
But like street and common sense, I'm like, you are going to die in the real world, yeah, out there. If you went to, like, she won't, she, like, if she went to Chicago, she would be murdered. I'm just saying. So I, Adam, if you're out there, I don't know you, but we're bros.
Yeah. You guys are bros.
But that just brings me back to like, Ford, if you're listening and he's not, reconsider making our schools. But they're going to, that first of all, they're going to try to save up was $100 million, close to $100 million, which is okay. I hear you. Do it through attrition. Is that the word I'm looking for? Where you just let old people retire out? What's the word?
Oh, getting rid of the
people
top
who are retiring, just don't just not rehiring.
That's another thing that teachers do. They have all those like old teachers that have retired on their sub list.
Yeah.
And when they sub, they're getting paid fat cash, right? It's not like a set amount. They're getting paid, I think they're from their old, based on their old salary, which is
so
crazy.
There's something you can do is save money that way by just saying, look, bring up the young teachers too. I'm not saying all old teachers are out to past. A lot are though, okay? Yeah. A lot are still teaching like they're taught in the 80s, 90s. And like, well, I've done this way.
Right.
The world has changed. You are not as effective as you think you are, right? The world has changed. The way that our kids are being told by the media how they should be able to, like, our kids don't have to hand in things late. They don't get any.
Yeah, we're going
to
get into that.
We're getting to that next week. Yeah. Anyway, that's another thing. That's an area of grievance. But another political thing happening in it was the Liberal Party still just crap in the bed left, right, and center. And so
all like, still SNC-Lavalin
so,
stuff, right?
Yeah, it's still haunting them to this day, 6-7 weeks later. And like this, our prime minister who claims to be a feminist, who loves women, who's like 50% of my cabinet's women, he's like all for like equal rights, and that's great. Literally kicks out two of his Liberal leader caucus members because, one, she recorded a conversation, which, by the way, is legal in Ontario. One party consent is all you need, which means if I know I'm recording, that's all we need to know.
Oh, okay.
So she recorded a conversation to cover, and she did it for a good reason, because she clearly knew that this was going to go down. And so this Liberal MP or this Liberal Prime Minister who's like, look, I love women, and you know, he basically fires them and then says, you're out of the cabinet. You're done because you went against
the
grain.
Trusted is what he said. But
that just makes him so untrustworthy.
I love when people say that they can't be trusted when they've done something untrustworthy.
Yeah. Hey, you called me out on being untrustworthy, so you're not trustworthy. It's like a mob mentality. It's like organized crime. It's so weird. Yeah, anyway, so he's like done. Just absolutely
so
finished.
Frustrating.
And it's coming up soon.
When everything you say to begin with is fluff, and then you go do something like that, beat it.
I can't listen to him talk. I'm like, how? Your dad was a prime minister.
Do you think he was in a 1-2-3 split?
Aaron Grievances, what do you got?
Oh, man. Okay. So I was on a phone call right before I came over here because, I got a technician coming today to fix my fridge, the water thing on the inside. As soon as you open the door, water all over the floor. It just keeps running no matter what. So I shut the water off. But anyways, so I thought, you know what? I should probably change the filter that's in it. I haven't changed the filter in that fridge since we bought it. So I probably should change the filter. Pull it out. Look up online, you know, the model of fridge, what filter I need.
Yeah.
Find what's the dealer that's nearest. So I call a dealer in town here. I won't mention who they are.
I know who you're talking about.
Don't. Yeah, it's fine. So anyways, I call. What do you think this stupid 6-inch cartridge filter for my fridge, what do you think it costs at the local
what
dealer?
What I think I should cost? It should cost $20.
Tell me what you think it costs at the local dealer.
That's the one I think you're saying? Over $100.
$236. And they told me, oh, there's only one in stock. We'll have to get it shipped in. So do you want it? No.
No, thanks. I will put paper towel in there.
20 seconds later, I find it on Amazon for $100.
Yeah. Still,
a minute and a half later, I find it on another site from like out west, $62.
And you probably get it in China for $10.
Makes me angry.
That's upsetting.
That's ridiculous.
The same company.
Yeah.
I know who you're talking about because it's the only one in town. I thought I needed a liner for my dishwasher, so a seal. I thought the seal was broken.
Right.
It wasn't.
Okay.
And I ended up it wasn't. This seal, a piece of rubber.
Yeah.
4 feet long. $99 for a piece of rubber.
That's ridiculous.
Again, I called LG. I said, LG, like, why?
Right.
Even on their website, it's $149. I'm like, come on, guys. What's going on? Again, China. $2.50.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not joking.
And that's probably where it's made.
It's the exact same thing.
Yeah.
It's probably from the same factory.
Like this cartridge that came, it's not even labeled even with, like, they didn't even take the time to put the fridge manufacturer's, like, sticker on it. It doesn't even that. It's, like, so generic. It's not even funny.
Just drink the water.
Made in Mexico. Like.
You're right. That really bothers
me. I'm sorry.
Me.
When I'm getting, like, hosed hard because of, like, that's greed in that
situation. That's called proprietary, and I think that
because the guy that's charging $62 for it is still making,
I know,
cash.
Cost them 5 cents to make that thing.
$236.
Yeah, that's
look,
not
I'm fair. I'm all riled up now.
Well, here's something interesting with iPhones and things. There's people who are trying to get it so that you can. It's the right to repair.
Right.
So with iPhones, Samsungs, all these phones, you can't repair it. You void the warranty. They say no. You have to bring it in. We get to pay us to fix it. There are people literally trying to make that our law, that you have to make your equipment so that people can repair it themselves and not void the warranty. And
for sure.
This is what's happening. My grievance? Do you want to hear me?
Okay. I want to hear it.
Man, airports.
Airports?
I don't mind flying, and I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good at going where I need to go. But I'm like, do these people who do, like, I worked in an airport, so I know the inner workings of an airport in and out. I was a ramp attendant. I was a CSA. I was a packer. I did everything in an airport. I did, except for security, but I knew how it worked.
Sure.
Okay. Yesterday, I'm just loading up the thing. She's like, yeah, you gotta take everything out, cameras and everything. Cameras? No. I thought it's usually just take out your laptops, and if you have a tablet, take it out. Cool. She's like, yeah, cameras and everything. I have a camera bag. My camera bag is full of cameras. It's what I travel with. I'm like, are you sure? I've never heard that. It's what we do. I'm like, can you explain to me? And I wasn't upset. I was like, hey, I was just wondering. You know, I travel a lot. This is the first time someone's ever asked me to do this. Why does it change from airport to airport? They don't have answers for you. They're like, that's just the way it is. I'm like, I've never seen this ever.
Right.
I'm like, do I take my shoes off? No, you don't have to. Next airport, take your shoes off. Like, you walk through, it's like you have a bomb in your shoe.
Right.
Why, if our security is so important to us, is it not universal?
Yeah, it should be. There should be a common practice.
Yes.
To avoid all possible.
It's outcomes. Ridiculous.
And everyone should know what it is.
And it should be the same. And especially for people who travel, I'm like, you guys are just making this stuff up. And they can do whatever they want. They can make your life a living hell. So you don't get them.
Exactly.
And you know, they've been there long. I know it's not the best job in the world. But I'm like, you guys really need to universalize this security that you do. Because why is one airport different than the other? I know I'm complaining. This is a very first world problem. I have to take my $5,000 cameras out of my bag and put them in the thing. I get it.
Yes.
But I'm just saying, look. I want to get through just like everybody else. And I'm like, I have to take my belt off. I have to take everything off. And then you're like, oh, don't worry about your shoes. I'm like, but everywhere else I do, except here. And then another airport, same way. We came back from Florida. Don't worry about your shoes. I'm like, it's so frustrating to me. Just like, I'd love to talk to somebody about who creates these protocols. And if it's, the security systems are all the same. They're all under one person in the U.S., under one department. Why does it change? I want to get to the bottom of it.
Get to the bottom of it.
Let's do it. So that's my grievance. Wasn't terrible. Oh, and then I got to the airport and
it's stuff that
bugs another errand grievance. I get outside Toronto Airport, waiting for my shuttle at the thing. No smoking signs everywhere, literally everywhere.
But everybody's hacking.
Everybody's
darts.
Smoking by the literally a lady smoking, looking at the sign that says "Don't smoke here." They have a spot you're supposed to go. Smoking to me is the most disgusting thing in the world. It's disgusting to me. And people just like, I'm giving them the eye. I was getting upset because I was tired.
Yeah.
And I was just about to be like, hey, can you just read the sign behind your face? That's literally eye height to what you're doing right now. And they just tell you to go F yourself properly.
Yeah,
right? You get
sure.
a big fight. But I was packing my big bag. Oh, another errand grievance. American Airlines is the worst airline in the world. Not for a few reasons. Like, they damage people's guitars. You've heard the horror stories.
Yeah.
I have this big bag, this big black, what's it called? It's upstairs.
Roller bag, the suitcase?
No, it's not a suitcase. It's a pelican case. Okay, yep. It holds all my gear. It's like, if that thing fell out of an airplane, my gear would be fine.
Right.
It would be fine. It's military grade. It's heavy.
They open up what's in it and then punch what's in it, though.
Sometimes. But I lock it. If they check it, that's fine. That's not an issue. My issue with American Airlines is that it's heavy, and I get it. And I worked his bag, and you know, if it has a heavy sticker on it, I know that's heavy, and I know to be careful. But I get that it's heavy, but up to 170 pounds, just have, or sorry, 70 pounds, it costs you $150 for a bag.
Holy cow.
Okay.
Yeah.
From 70 to 90 to 100 pounds is an extra $100. So I had a 90 pound bag, $250 to take that each way. More expensive than the ticket.
That's crazy.
And I'm like, that's why I like Southwest, because they don't charge for any bags. So it would have been cheaper for me to buy two suitcases, put all my stuff in those two big giant suitcases, split the things. Yeah. It would only have been $60. It's the same weight on the airplane.
Yeah.
Okay. It's the same weight.
Oh, I'm sorry. With American, yeah. If you'd split it into two.
If I would have split it into two suitcases at 60 pounds, yeah, or at 45 pounds a piece, I would have been under the weight and it would have been $30 each. Right.
But it's
and
the same weight.
It's the same weight going on the airplane. So this is a predatory practice, what you're talking about. We're talking about, you can't fix your own things, where they're predatory practices. We need to do a whole episode on predatory practices and how we can, and what your recourse. My recourse is I'm never going to fly American ever again.
Right.
I will never, ever fly American again. And I told her, and it's not her fault. She doesn't make policy. But if Americans hearing this, they don't care. They make bank on this, right? This is why I love Southwest. They don't charge you for any bags. You can take two full-size bags at 50 pounds a piece free.
What?
Free.
That's amazing.
So from this point forward, I'm never flying American ever again. And generally, I don't need to take that much equipment with me, but people who fly professionally are a lot of small business guys like me. That is a huge hit to my wallet. That's there and back is almost $500 to take a bag. The flight was like $180. And it's the same weight. It's not a safety issue.
No.
They can't say it is. The guys lifting the bags, yes, it's heavy for them.
Yes, that's different. But you mark it and they two together. It's you guys lift it.
They get paid to do that. I'm just saying. That was my big area of grievance. If you work at an airport, and I did, I commend you guys because you do a hard job. But those people, but American Airlines who make these practices, who can just hammer people, because those people who get charged those things, they know that they're businesses and they just do it.
Yeah, for sure.
It's usually equipment that's worth a lot of money. That's why you want to protect it.
Yes.
And so they just, American, if you're listening, you suck.
Yeah. And when we fly down to see Chris and go, Chris Pratt, and go for dinner, we're not going American.
Flying Southwest, baby. I like Southwest.
Yep.
Hey, what do you got, a story?
I got a story. It's another story about firefighting. I guess that's kind of what we do
That's what you do. You have
All right, here it is. It was an easy call. We went, it was reported as an unknown odor, I believe, or possibly the smell of gas.
Okay.
When we arrived to this residence, we were met by the gentleman who owned the place. It was a townhouse. And in the garage, he claimed that he was smelling gas. Sure enough, we opened the door, strong smell of gas. So I said, okay, well, you know, filling any lawnmowers, you know, going through the normal questioning that you would think. Like most people would be able to figure out where a gas smell is coming from in their garage. So I said to the guy, I'm going to need you to, like, it was, picture a townhouse garage, right? And small. It was a double car, but you could barely move. I'm like, I need you to get the cars out, right? So I said, move this car. So he pulled the one car out. And as he pulls it out, we're kind of trying to look at all the stuff on the side, see if there's a gas can that's leaking or something like that. And as he comes back in, it was one of my favorite things I've ever heard said. He goes, oh, I think I found the culprit. To which I turned around with the biggest smile on my face and I said, what'd you find? And the other car that was parked in the garage, it was just leaking from the gas tank right there. But I mean, the puddle was huge. Like, it was ridiculous. But it was just his, like, his detective skills kicked in and he came back and goes, oh, I think I found the culprit. So calm. It was awesome. We laughed and laughed and laughed. So we sometimes
do you get to clean that up for him because you're there?
We throw down a little bit of absorbent and say, get your car fixed. Like, okay. What do you want to do? It's a leaking tank, right? We can take it to mechanic.
The culprit. It's just... Did he laugh or was he like, did that embarrass when that happens?
I think he was a little bit. Like, I mean, because it wasn't hard to find. Like, the garage is so cramped that, you couldn't really get between the cars to see it. But once he pulled it out, it was obvious. And just, like, do a little bit more investigation before you call 911,
right? The first thing I do if I smell gas, I didn't know where I would look under a car. It was the first thing I would do.
Yeah, it'd be the first place you'd go, right?
Some people just don't know that.
Yeah, so it was pretty funny.
That's cool. All right, let's get into marriage tip of the week. Man. You got anything?
We're supposed to have things for this, right?
Here's a tip. Whenever you travel, and I do a lot, I always buy my kids a gift. Always.
You do, right?
I do. I just get them something that's smaller. But this one is a little bit bigger just because I was like, I was there and I had some time. So I got Tyson a pair of shoes I found on sale. Nice Adidas. What were they called? Continentals. They were really nice, like classic Adidas. They were really cool.
Sweet.
Tristan, I got him a jean jacket.
Oh, wow.
Weston got a Spider-Man hat.
You're not
or
coming
helmet.
Back with trinkets. You're coming no. back with full on.
Yeah, but I find good deals. Only if it's a good deal.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So I got deals, and then Everly got it. Like, okay, this is almost grievance. There's a store called American Girl in the U.S.
Yes.
Have you ever seen this?
Oh, it's the dolls. Yeah.
Dude!
Adelaide had two dolls.
They're $115 a piece.
Yeah,
American.
It's crazy.
That's $140 Canadian for a
I have
doll.
A funny story about that.
It is. Okay, first of all, white privilege. 100%.
Sure. Yep.
They have a salon in there. You
yes.
bring your
oh,
doll in.
Oh, I know all about this.
It's crazy. You knew about this?
Well, I know about it because
dang.
Adelaide has a doll. She's never gone to the extent what you're talking about. Like, you're not going to the salon with your doll
yeah.
and getting new hairdos installed in your doll. That's what they do.
Yes.
Oh, you want new eyes? They'll give you new yeah. eyes. They'll do everything, right, to change these things. But yeah, Adelaide got one, like, a bunch of Christmases ago, and it was, like, it was the only thing we gave her. So it wasn't, like... She
yeah,
didn't get a $150 doll and then $200 this and this
yeah,
and this
yeah.
and this. It was like one big thing. But Trish, it was Trish who was so set on getting it, which I always thought was hilarious. And then Christmas morning, when Adelaide's not playing with the doll, but Trish is sitting in her chair in her pajamas combing its hair, that's when I knew what had happened.
Then
oh, I found the culprit.
That's hilarious. I couldn't believe it, man. $115 for a doll.
It's crazy.
I bought, and I was like, well, could you have a small one? They do. They're like this big. They're like 2 inches high, 3 inches high.
Yeah.
$26 American. I got her one.
What, for like an action figure?
Yeah, it looks like an action figure. These people are, but
that's
the thing
crazy.
Is the stores aren't everywhere. They're very boutique-y. They're very high quality. Don't get me wrong.
All
they're collectors.
They're teaching people to be consumers.
Yeah.
They're teaching little girls from the youngest age possible to consume everything.
Well, every person in there besides me was a mom.
Yes.
Who you could tell was rocking their hunter boots.
Yes.
Their kids are wearing
oh,
Blundstones.
Yeah. For sure they
their
are.
Kids are walking around two or three of these dolls in their arms.
Probably
and this is their collector's thing.
Makeup shotgun.
Yeah, like
all over there.
And I'm not, it is what it is, but these moms are building that into their daughters.
Yes, they are, for
so
sure.
So I sort of get it. I sort of get the draw because these dolls can be collectors.
Yes.
But that is too much money. I'm sorry. $115 for
sure
a doll.
Should they really no. be a collector? Like,
so yeah. Kid pro tip of the week. Don't be an elitist. I don't know because in Ontario, elite is different. Your kids play hockey and you're like, you're elite.
Yeah.
It is true. And they've tapped into a thing, right? Where Tyson and these guys love their, oh, he's wearing off white and all this stuff like that. Yeah, he's wearing a $185 t-shirt. We see that guy's an idiot. You guys see that guy's got flex.
Right.
Which is it's a thing, right? It's about
but
consumerism in its finest.
Why has flexing become what you have? That's what all those stupid, that's why those songs, that's why I hate them so much. It's not because I don't think the guys are talented. They have some uniqueness to them that mm-hmm. I enjoy, but I hate the like flex on what you spent money on. Shut up.
I know, because people consume it and they love it. Part
why?
Of the reason I love the show
it.
Entourage,
crazy.
And I fall into this, part of the reason I loved Entourage, which
yeah.
is an amazing show
yes,
on
it
HBO.
Yes, it is very good. It's
so
hilarious.
He spent money on like cars and you're like, it's because you want to do it. You want to be that person. I do. If I won $100 million, I would be the stupidest idiot in the things that I bought. I would
I
be
don't
a complete
think I
moron.
Would. I'm not. My brain doesn't work that
I
way.
I would definitely be generous. Of course I would. But I would also have the stupidest things that you could buy your money. Like I was just talking about the Bezos. I know we're talking about marriage thing, but here's a marriage tip. Don't sign a prenup.
Here's a marriage tip. Don't go off on tangents.
Look at Bezos, divorce, and she's like, so there was an article the other day, she said she's going to take, you know, she's happy to keep her $38 billion worth of stock in Amazon. Well, yeah, but I was thinking to myself, and I was talking to some guys I was traveling with this week, what do you spend that money on? Bezos, they don't actually have it liquid, right? They have it in
yes,
stock. So
yeah.
She liquefied her stock, probably worth some, probably half that.
Sure.
Which is still over $20 billion, or
yes.
close to $20 billion.
Still more than she can spend.
What could you possibly spend that money on?
Well, you can spend it on whatever you want.
But you can't spend it, though. You cannot physically spend that much money.
No, you can't. But the issue that you get into, like you said, you would buy like every ridiculous thing.
Yeah.
But eventually that just becomes
exactly.
you trying to find joy in the next thing that's going to give you joy for 15 minutes until you're like, it's whatever.
No, I think all these rich people, they find their joy initially, they get everything they want, but then you look at guys like what's his name, Microsoft, Bill Gates, and their joy now is just spending their money on helping people,
right? And which is what I think you would do. I
you'd
think in the
to.
Long run, no, I think you would because
yeah.
you're very generous, so I could see that being your go to.
I do it right
be,
away, but I also have stupid things. I wouldn't
I,
pursue,
I know you'd get stupid
but
things,
but to me,
for sure.
though, this abundance of absurd billions, you can literally not spend the money, like it's not spendable.
Right.
It's almost a jail for you because, not a jail, but it's almost like it's frustrating because you can't even spend it.
Right. But also you becomes you trying to just maintain that.
Yeah.
That height.
You need more and you need more and you need more and you need more. Anyway, that's so marriage tip of the week. Don't become a billionaire. That's a good one.
I guess. Don't do it. I got a little parenting tip, I guess. It was a little something that happened this week, which I found kind of nice. I've been encouraging through attempted to be good, but also fights. Ty to get a job. So we got in a little bit of a brawl about it last week, only because I just found his attitude about it to be slightly negative. He feels because he's got a job for the summer that there's no possible way anybody will give him a job for the next like 2-3 months.
Yeah.
And I said, I understand your concern. This is the way the conversation started. I get that you think that, but you don't know because you have not tried.
Yeah.
Right? I said, be honest, because that's what I believe. Like I did it before. Like when I was trying to be a firefighter, I had a very hard time finding a job because I was honest about what I wanted to do to other employers.
Yep.
So maybe that's not the right move, but I felt like it was because I wanted to be that way. This is what I'm working towards. I am a good worker though, and I'll work for you until I can achieve that, right?
Yep.
So I said to him, hey, tell him straight up. I got a job lined up for the summer. I'm coming back after the summer. I'm looking to pursue lifeguarding, but if that doesn't work out, I'll be looking for another job. I go, that's what you said. That's what you say.
Yep.
So that people know. I tell him to call McDonald's where he used to work. Nope. Nope. They're not going to hire me. I'm like, how do you know? Mm-hmm. It's only 3 months. I said, right. But have you checked? Nope. And he said, and then I asked him again. He's like, Dad, I already talked to my cousin and his friend who worked there. And they said there's no way. I said, okay, do they hire? No, but they said there's no way. They talked to somebody. So anyways, Ty called there on a fluke yesterday, like a fluke. He was asking some other question. And the person on the phone said, are you Ty? Yep. She goes, send me your resume. He literally like he has an interview today and he's probably gonna have the job by the end of the night. So he called me last night and he was actually humbled. He actually said, hey Dad, I got an interview. I asked where, he told me where. And then I said, I didn't get mad or say I told you so. All I went was when I went, really? And he went, I know. So it was good. So parenting tip. I'm not sure what the parenting tip is there, but
encourage. I think stand your ground on things that you think are important to do. Tyson's gonna do the same thing. He's gonna go in with Ty. And drop his resume off.
Oh, good.
Because Tyson will get his job back too. And I've been delaying it. It's been my fault. He hasn't pushed it, obviously. But Ty called me last night after the interview. And I said, good for you, buddy.
Yeah, good.
So
no, it's good. It is good.
You're right. I think encourage it. But at the same time, these kids need to work too. Like, I don't care if it's only 3. I'm going to tell Tyson, don't tell them anything. Because I don't care. He'll get the job, take it off. And then he'll come back at the end of the summer. And I'm like, you're working right away. Soon as September hits, unless your semester's super hard, you're absolutely working.
Right.
Like you need your money. You need your, he puts half of it away for school. He's got a good chunk now and it's good, but it's not enough yet. If he works one more year, next summer might not be camp full time. Next summer might be a full time job.
That's understandable. I mean, kids have to make money too.
He needs to put all, unless we have it locked in that he can go to school because he gets that education, and that's fine. Then okay, do whatever you want.
Right.
You take a summer off and go travel. Do whatever you want as long as you're ready.
Yep.
That kind of leads into what we're talking about. This I went to church in Chicago this week, the Hillsong, the hip church, right?
Yeah.
It was really cool. Like it was a small auditorium, really intimate, good music.
Music's bang on there, right?
Yeah, music's tight. But you could tell the worship pastor just Hillsong has this thing, and I, if you don't listen to Hillsong, you don't know this, but in this worship culture, it's like this cockiness. I could be reading completely wrong.
Everywhere is playing their songs every Sunday.
And if you're on that team, it's hard to not be when you're like, I'm on the team, you know? But like, I'm never like that. I'm on these guys' level, no problem. When it comes to leading worship and playing music on that, I'm on that level and I'm not cocky and I will never be that person. But I just had the air of cockiness in this worship leader. He's like, yo, check this out. Get to the mic and he sings. Very talented. He has a $2,000 guitar in his hands. Wow. And he was very good, but you could just tell it's like the spirit of like cockiness exuding from this dude. And it was like, anyway, it takes away from me, but I it was good so I could overcome it. But the pastor has spoken something really, really cool there. He was a really bit of a weirdo, but, and then as soon as he said that this guy works for Joel Osteen Ministries, I was like, oh, here we go. But he didn't talk about the Joel Osteen style of life.
Okay.
But he actually had, he hit me really hard. Something hit me really hard. He's like, he's talked about just living in the past and the present, or not living in the present, basically, right? What a lot of us do right now, we live in this space where we worry about what happened in the past, and we focus on the things we missed and the things that we missed out on or lost or failed on, or the good times, whatever, right?
Yep.
And if you're not doing that, you're thinking about the future. How am I going to pay this bill? How am I going to do this? My kids need to go to school. I need to, you know, what happens when I get home? My wife, we're going to argue about this thing, you know?
Absolutely.
And none of us live in the present like we're supposed to. And it's really cool that he said that, but he's like, how many of you are sitting there on your couch and you're missing opportunities with your kids coming up to you and saying, hey daddy, let's make a, Weston does all the time, let's make a rocket ship out of all the cushions. And I'm more often than not, I'm like, I'm busy. I'm on my phone. And that's a fail. It hit me really, really hard. Sure. And I was like, I need to talk about this week about being present in our kids' lives. And what does it look like? And how can we do it better?
Yeah.
Right. Even you have older kids, and so I'm not sure.
No, same thing happens.
So
for sure.
It's really frustrating me because I haven't even seen Tyson in probably 2.5 weeks. Like, I see him for 2 seconds.
Right.
He's off his girlfriend's house and passing. He's off your house. He's out doing it. Now he's hanging out with his other friends who go driving, and I don't know what they do.
Okay.
And it's just like, I don't see him ever. Like, we're not, our relationship is not strong right now because I'm not invested, and I'm busy, and once you guys kind of see what's going on in my life right now, it's not an excuse though to be not present.
No.
So, relationship suffering there. I say suffering in a way that's like, it is what it is. We're living. No one's fighting. He's doing his chores. Yeah, it's not growing. The bond isn't increasing.
Yes.
Tristan was just grounded for 2 weeks, so he's mad at us for the last 2 weeks.
Right.
And, even my younger kids too. So I'm just trying to get all these projects finished. And every time he comes downstairs, Weston wants to just, he's to the point where he's like, when I get home, please take your jacket off. It's such a guilt tripping. It hurts to hear him say that.
Because he doesn't want you leaving again.
He doesn't want me to leave again. Right, Everly will do the same. Grab my hand. He's like, come upstairs. Grab my hand. He wants me to lay with him on the couch, and so I'm making these moments, and that hit me so hard this week that I do still consider myself a good dad, and I do try to be the best. But I'm failing, and I'm missing some real important moments, and I got to stop. Winter though, I'm realizing too. Also, as Canadian dads, like, I don't want to do anything. Nobody wants to do
you
anything.
You shut down because you're
shut down because you don't want to go outside. Okay. Spring's here now. We're going to the park. Those are the moments, I think, when it's warmer out. Yeah. I spend way more time doing things with my kids.
Sure.
And it shouldn't be that way.
But you can also be present by hanging with them too, right? If they're
so I'm missing these moments. Everly loves playing board games. Tyson likes playing board games.
Yep.
I got to toss that phone out when I walk into my house. I need to put it down and I need to stop looking at it.
Yeah, it's got to be docked somewhere where, pick it up when you leave. But I agree. Yeah. Phones can be, Trish challenged me too the other day. She said I'm on it more. And I, the funny thing is I don't feel like I am. So, but I got to listen to her. So that's something where she's saying, hey, it feels, she's telling me her feeling is she feels like I am paying more attention to that. And not more attention than that to her necessarily, but more attention than I would normally pay.
Yeah. So to the phone. It's increasing.
Is what she's seeing, yeah. So I gotta take that into to heart.
Kathy and I are equally as bad.
Figure it out.
And so we don't.
Yeah.
Like, we don't call each other on it. We at one point we did a week of none in our rooms, and it was awesome. And we need to start doing that again.
Good.
We need to do it again because we're as soon as you lay down in bed, you're on your phone. And you can sometimes get wrapped up in an article or something. You get down, you go down a wormhole in the internet that you're like, holy smokes! Now you're like a conspiracy theorist. And I'm just saying, like, it can just get crazy.
Yep.
Right. And then you can't sleep. It messes up everything. Your kids come in the room. First thing you do is pick up your phone. That's all they see. That's all that my kids are seeing.
Yeah. And you know that it's too true too, because I'll tell you this from work. So, you know, at home, you're more comfortable. For sure. You're more comfortable at home. So you know that if you're doing something somewhere else, that you're doing it at home probably more. Right.
Yep.
And I watch the guys that I work with. I've been 16 years now, a firefighter. And at the beginning, we used to like hang out. There was no phones then, like hardly. Like guys had like flip phones and stuff like that, right? But nobody was on them endlessly. So we would tell stories, you'd laugh together and stuff. We were done doing some chores yesterday when I was working, and we're all upstairs in the dorm hanging out, waiting for the floor that we just mopped to dry. Every single person was on their phone. You've got 9 people in a room, and no one was talking to each other. Now, we did start, and it's good, but some people will still just stay in the corner and just be on their phone, right, the whole time. That's unfortunate. That's relationships. And then, if you're doing that at home, which it's, I mean, guaranteed, those same guys are doing the same thing at home, because your phone is such an easy default.
Go to high school. Look what's going on. I walked around the halls the other day. Every single student is on their phone. Even if they're hanging out with each other, they're on their phones.
Yeah.
Tyson says the same thing. No one talks to each other at school. Like, you walk down the hall and you might talk. Some students do, but they're considered outcasts. Schools need to be phone-free zones. Again, they do. They like, because, and parents, we're just as bad, but like, we're bad.
Parents are the issue with that, though, with them, the phone. My kid needs to have a phone so I can do this, and this. Wait, why? Your kid can't figure out how to get a hold of you if they need to a different way? Like, they all have Chromebooks, and they have Wi-Fi at the school. They can email you if they desperately need you.
Exactly.
It's not like something that it's got to be, but everybody needs an answer instantly right now.
Yeah.
So
the world has changed, and the thing is, I don't want to take phones away. Balancing. There's got to be a balance.
There needs to be
a balance. And there's a couple ways that I was thinking, how can I do this? So I think Andy Stanley said something about the way he schedules things, and honestly, blocking out time in your calendar that's like, this is my family time. Everybody knows we're doing this on Tuesdays.
Oh, okay.
We're going to do something as a family every Friday, whatever it is. That's every week. So Tyson's not coming home. Can I go hang with Catherine? So Tyson's coming home. Can I go hang with my girlfriend? I'm like, no, because look what time it is. It's time that the family does something together. Mm-hmm. That's eating dinner. That's going for a walk. That's going to the arcade or to the movies, bowling, whatever it is. We do something once a week, us only, no one else, you know.
Right.
Depends. Like, Ty can come because he's basically family. But like, that's just people that we know we're tight with. That has to be important. So that's something I'm going to work on. I challenge myself over the next 6 months is that once a week, and that seems like, once a week, but deliberately blocking out a moment that everybody knows we're going to go do something. And my kids, if I tell them that, they'll call me on it, especially Everly. She's a steel trap.
Hey, you
tell her,
right.
If I tell her like 2 years ago, we're going to Disneyland on the April 6th, 2000 or April 10th, 2019. Yeah. She's like, hey, it's April 8th. When are we going to Disney? Like, I told you in the womb. How do you know that? That's who she is. So I can use that as a benefit. But my wife and I need to put down the phones.
Yeah.
We need to also be engaged to each other to like, be like, we talk a lot lately more now because of the struggles I'm dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really good. And it's really, we'll go for walks and we'll talk about this. So that's actually really good to hear that when we do go through things, we're putting the phones down, we're talking.
Good.
Which is good. Another thing is to practice gratitude.
Okay.
And it sucks because I talk about the journaling thing, which I do. And I haven't actually had a big blow up until yesterday. This guy hung to me at the airport. I didn't say anything about that, but I punched his car.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Anyway, just a practice, a gratitude or a journal where you're saying, you know, today was a good day because this happened. And I do this with Everly. I slowed down, but it's called futureme.org. Futureme.org. And it basically, Everly and Weston, when they were born, I got their emails. WestonBarbara@gmail.com, EverlyBarbara@gmail.com, right?
Yep.
I just got it because I want their names. And futureme.org, what they do is you send emails 18 years ahead.
Yep.
So on their birthday, when they turn 18, they both will get a ton of emails from me about memories I've had with them. This year we did this, and I won't do it every day, but I'll put memories in there. And when they turn 18, they get that. We also have, I can't say what we have next because it has to do with the older boys, and they probably listen to this. But we do something where we practice, that's what we do. So I email Everly. And then she'll get her email address when she turns 13.
Yeah.
And then it'll have a bunch of emails in there already, but the futureme.org won't release the emails until she's 18 or Weston's 18.
That's
something we're doing, but that still doesn't negate the fact what's happening now
is that
being present is really, really important. And again, we always talk about once you understand that there's a problem, you have to deal with it.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. For me, I think we're pretty good with family dinner. We try to sit down every night for the most part. And sometimes it's not good. Sometimes there's an argument or something, but at least there's no phones there and it's everybody sitting down, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes Trisha accuses me of not being engaged. It could be because I'm tired. I mean, I do work shifts and
mm-hmm.
it's still not an excuse. I got to be a little more aware of that anyways and to be present. We do that. But I think for me, phone too, I have to, if they walk in the room, even if I'm like typing something or whatever, put the phone down.
Yep.
Just put it down.
Yep.
Look at the person that's speaking to you and asking you a question. I mean, I can easily pick that back up later and finish whatever I was typing. Whereas, you know, whatever thought they have or whatever question they have, they might either go figure it out on their own, which is okay. But at least if they ask me and I think they can figure it out on their own, I can guide them and say, hey, you got this. Go figure it out, right?
Watch what changes if you do that one simple thing you just said. Your kid comes up to you, you instantly put the phone down. If that becomes your natural thing, they're seeing that. They are seeing that. And in the real world, they might start mirroring that behavior. Some friend comes up or a colleague, hey, how are you? I'm engaged with you right now.
Yes.
You're teaching them not only social norm, like what you should be socially, but man, like I saw a meme the other day, just like you posted a picture of a girl texting at a dinner table. She's like this. It's dark. She's the screen's over your face. And he's like, he posted it, said, went to the bathroom, not coming back. Enjoy your dinner. And left her the bill. He's like, whoever's texting more important than this, peace out. Right. So these people are, it's starting to become a thing. So my challenge is going to be, yes, I'm putting my phone down when my son walks up to me and says, daddy, let's build a rocket ship.
Yeah.
I'm going to build the rocket ship.
Good.
And I'm going to block out time once a week for the next 6 months just to see. You know, and it will be awesome. I know it will be. More family dinners too. Like, we don't do that very often just because we're just always on the go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Always
sure.
something. You know that too. But
yeah.
It's now that I'm home, I just need to, I can just make the dinner. So as soon as Kathy gets home, we could just have an early dinner.
That's what we do.
So it's just early dinner time.
We have to do that.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to do. We're eating 4:35 just because we got stuff.
Nothing wrong with that. And that just, I love cooking and I'm pretty good at it. So nice. I just more of that. I did slow cooking the other day. I did some dumplings and chicken. It was good.
Right on.
I just put it in the morning and it was right when we got home. So I think just being present was, it hit me really hard because he sang the Man on the Moon song.
Yeah.
You know, dad, when you come home, dad, oh, I don't know when, we'll get together then, we'll have a good time then. And it was really, it was really awkward because he did the whole song. It was just like, it got cringy, but at the same time, it got the point across, right?
Sure.
You do not want your kids to follow these behaviors that you find are like, because you don't, you know, there are some negative aspects of my parents, my mom, that I absolutely do not do. But I'm starting to find that there's some things I do.
Yep.
Right. And so I think being present, and we go back to Dr. Kirk's sage advice, you know, build the bond. Presence is key. You cannot have a bond if you're not present.
Yeah. Why does somebody want to listen to you when you don't have the time to listen to them? Right.
Yeah. And they're going to exhibit those behaviors to their friends and family. When Ty and Tyson are in the same room together, they're on their devices.
Oh, I know. I give them a hard time about it all the time.
Yeah. And so, but they just like, but they have a good point by saying like, we're just present together in the same room. Our auras are connecting. I sort of get it. It's kind of like endearing, but at the same time, I'd rather, like, I know you don't want to be always talking about something, but put them down
but
for a while.
But there's a difference between being in the same room together, not talking, watching the same movie.
Yeah.
At least you're engaged in the same thing.
Yeah.
And then you could talk about that after. But when one person's on one phone and the other person's playing Fortnite.
Yeah, that's true.
Really, what are you doing?
I get it that you're in each other's presence, but that's why when they come home from camp, they're such different teenagers. They're such different people.
Yes.
They didn't get any of that.
They are. For sure.
They're different.
They are.
They're like literally lit up. They're glowing.
Yeah.
It's weird, man. Like, not weird. Sorry. It's like eye opening to say, holy, imagine you did that every day.
But
you're outside playing. You're outside doing something fun.
But the draw of that drug of that electronic is so strong that it draws them right back in very quickly. I noticed after camp.
Yep.
That I don't like. So, but
it's nothing we can do about it except for encourage.
Yeah. And exercise.
Or exercise and do our own thing.
Yeah.
You know, and just like really, really going for the presence. We really have to be there for me throwing Tyson a box of shoes yesterday does not make up for the fact I haven't seen him in almost 3 weeks.
No, for sure.
It doesn't. And I hope you didn't, you know, I didn't actually mean it to come across either. And now I need to be like, Tyson, let's go. You know, we're going to go to McDonald's, stay with Ty. What time is he going? It doesn't matter. We'll talk after. But I'm going to go with him and say, Tyson, like, once a week, you and I, we're going out for whatever, coffee, ice cream.
You got to stick to it then.
We got to, and that's one thing. Each kid gets something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm going to do that. I need to be more present in my kids' lives. I think dads out there listening, it doesn't matter how old your kids are, start young with the presence. Be there at every step of the way. You want to be there for every milestone. Kathy gets pissed when I miss a school thing.
Yeah.
And I agree. Be there for even the simplest things that you might think are dumb. Those kids are looking for you in the crowd.
For sure they are.
Be there.
Yeah.
They're more important than your job. I'm sorry. Anybody out there, I don't care how rich you are or how important your job is, your kids are more important than everything else. Your marriage is more important than everything else.
Yep.
You need, and even if you think, well, this is how I pay bills, find another way to pay bills. I promise you when you get to your deathbed, you're going to want to, and you do love your wife and you do love your kids, you're going to say, I wish. Every single time you're going to wish.
Absolutely.
So that's today's podcast, man. We did all right.
We did pretty good.
Next week, hopefully, we talk about some education. We still talk about the Broadway thing, and I really want to get that going because it's starting to be the season.
I love how we have segments, but it really just should be rants. just rants.
No more rants. What rant are we talking about today? But it was good.
Let's start here and go here.
But you know,
no,
issue the challenge. It's the challenge today. Dad's listening. Mom's listening. Parents listening. Be present. Shut down the phone. I think the phone is the biggest point right now. And like, if that means you need to take time off work or change your work schedule to make this work, here's the guys who are super, super guys that I know are who are super successful. are at jobs where they, like, if they want to go away for an afternoon, bye.
No problem.
Yeah. That's, but those are also the dads and parents that are the least present in their kids' life that I'm noticing. I'm not saying they're all like that.
Really? Okay.
But you know, if you're basing it, oh, I'm successful. I, this is who I am. This is how I'm going to do this, get ahead. Rethink how you're thinking that. That to me is you're copping out right there. Yeah. That's not cool.
And all I would say about that, about the give up the phones, like you said, I think if people hear give up the phones, that sounds like a hard task. We're not saying throw your phone away. I mean, unless that's the option, but it's probably not the option. We're saying, think about it. Think about areas where you can tone it down and set it down. Set it down for half an hour. If it buzzes, it doesn't have to be answered instantly. Nope. There's no way.
Some people do, and their whole life is surrounded by that, but I think you'd see an incredible change if you just decided to leave it on your front. When you walk in your door, your keys go in the bowl, your phone goes in the bowl, you leave it there.
Yeah.
Walk away, come back in an hour. You know what? It can wait. Yeah. If I send an email to someone, I expect a response back right away. It's usually to my wife. That's like an emergency situation. If it's an emergency, I'll call.
For sure.
You know? So there's a lot of... people will come up with a million excuses of how they don't want to do that, and they will fall back into that thing.
Absolutely.
But we don't... The whole point of this is to say you don't want regrets when you get older. You do not want regrets. You don't want regrets.
Right.
No regrets.
No regrets.
So anyway, thanks for checking the podcast. Where can they find us though?
Check us out. When you are using your phone at an appropriate time, please check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and what's the other ones?
Twitter? Nobody will... Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. Check us out on all the three. Those are the three majors, right?
Three majors. And you can check us out. Any major. Obviously, you're listening right now, so you know where to listen to us. Hey, our Instagram is growing, bro. It's growing.
Instagram's growing. I want this podcast to grow. I want people to listen. I really feel like, especially, I mean, listen to us, whatever. It might help you because you're probably thinking some of the same things.
Yes.
When we have guests like Dr. Kirk on, like we did last week, and I've listened to that one twice myself already, and I just, it's food for me.
We got some good guests coming up. I got some lined up. And I just don't want to give it away because I don't, like, you know, in case it falls apart, I don't want to be that guy.
And can we thank our loyal listeners too? Because we definitely have a few loyal listeners.
Yes,
it's not that many. Tell other people. We need some more loyal listeners so we can keep going. It makes us feel good. It makes us feel like we're achieving something.
But. Yeah, and when people come talk to me about the podcast and say, it actually, like, you know, we do this not for the fame because it's not fame. We do this because we love it, but we love that people are actually ingesting it. And if you are listening to this podcast right at this moment, in your car, wherever you are, thank you.
Thank you.
I don't know. I'm trying to be genuine here. Like, thanks. Like, thanks for taking the time
to listen
to our smelly breath through your speakers. You're actually awesome. And Chris Pratt, if you're listening, thank you for being Chris Pratt.
Yeah. And Chris, tell all your friends too to listen.
Imagine Chris told his friends to listen.
It'd be awesome.
And we'd be famous. All right. Peace.
See ya.